Good morning. It's a delight to be here this morning. Several weeks ago, the Council on Ministries, had a meeting. We were talking about the fall, planning our year, and Laity Sunday came up, and no one seemed to be jumping at the chance to speak. And since I had a sermon I'd already prepared, I always keep one in my Bible because I never know, as a music director, when something's going to happen to the pastor or an emergency arises and I have to step in. So it's always nice to keep a sermon prepared when you're a member of the church staff. But today I decided to change direction a little bit. And over the past few weeks, as I sat back at the organ, I have made notes as Tony has spoke and brought up various points from the Bible. I've thought about different things to talk about and things that would be beneficial to us as a people and as a church. And when I was thinking of my sermon topic, I took a lot of the different little pieces of paper I had stuck in my pocket week after week and laid them across my desk at home, and I decided that I was going to reflect on some things in our world. I'm not going into politics or talking about strife and pain and suffering, but in a world that is not so beautiful, how we can turn it into a beautiful life. I have had that experience myself over the past few months, and the question came up, Chris, at 41, why did you decide to just up and leave where you were living before and just move to Northern Virginia and start a new life for yourself? And, you know, some people are not as anxious about doing things like that, and that's the beauty of the world that we live in. There are all kinds of people that make up our world, and I'm just one of those people who don't mind closing the chapter of one book and opening up another one. And today, I'd just like to talk to you about some of the things that God has bestowed upon me that has made my life a much richer and more beautiful place for myself. This past January, I decided it was time that I experience a better life for myself than the one that I was living. I had a really good job teaching in the Hampton Roads area. I was given a lot of responsibility at my school. The principal was grooming me to become a school administrator, and I had attempted to pursue a degree to be a school administrator on two occasions, and I felt like I'm gung-ho, it's really what I want to do. But then something was telling me, you know, this is really not what your plan needs to be. And that was God speaking to me. And I know a lot of you all think, well, he doesn't talk to us that way. Well, he does talk to us that way. And it's a simple way. And that's what today's message is going to be about, how God sends us messages to help simplify our life and make it a better place for us in our own personal way. And in order for me to achieve a better life for myself, I thought I needed some changes. And I decided, you know, last January, I think I'm going to look to a new geographic location to move. I really was not running from any problem. I had no concerns at my job. I had a beautiful home in Norfolk, of which I would never own in Northern Virginia. Why would I want to give that up? And I decided that it's because they were just things. A home is just a thing. You know, I worked very hard for it. I saved for it, but that doesn't mean it always has to be that way. And so I decided to pack my boxes and come to Fairfax County and work for an outstanding school system and just start a new way for myself. Come to Wesley, a beautiful church where I feel very much at home, and I'd like to thank you all for allowing me the opportunity to come and serve as your music director. When I was talking to my mother about my wanting to move, she said, oh, you're just going through a midlife crisis. You know, women go through midlife crisis. Men go through midlife crises as well. And, you know, she made the typical motherly suggestions, of course, which I was very grateful to hear. And but as usual, I had already made up my mind. I had made my own decisions. I had gone into the conversation with my mother knowing that I had already secured a position with Fairfax County Schools, and I had already leased my U-Haul. And so I was basically just telling her that I was moving, but I was asking for her permission at this same time. So I decided to pack up, and here I am. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk about me all day, but I'm going to share with you just about six or seven very quick things that that have made my life a very nice place for myself, and what we often look at and open the newspaper up daily and turn on the television set and hear our friends talking about a place that really does not seem such a great place to be. At times, I'll just read directly from my sermon, because the beauty of not being the pastor is you don't really have that high expectation from me. So today, I'm going to probably be reading from my notes. As many of you, I am sure, have experienced in life, at times, you feel like the sky is falling, whether it's in your personal strife, carrying the weight of a sick friend or relative on your shoulders, listening to the news, reading the newspaper. There have been many days that the only positive thing that you've experienced is that you were laying in a warm bed and you could just pull the covers up over your head, squeeze the pillow, and gaze into the chaotic world that awaits us once we finally decide to get up. That was my life in January. I would like to take this short time that we have together to share with you my personal agenda that made my life a richer, fuller, and a more positive relationship with Christ. To begin with, one of the first things I decided to stop doing was worry and being afraid of what other people thought of me and think of me. Mark 4:19 reads that, "Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight of false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep and choke our lives, and they suffocate God's word, and it becomes fruitless." Oftentimes, I think we tend to be very concerned about what others think about us. What we wear, the house that we live in, the way we plant flowers in our yard, the kind of car that we drive, the way that we talk, the way that we walk, the type of cell phone that we have. My friend has a new iPod. I need to get one like them. My girlfriends went out to go shopping. They bought new dresses. I felt like I needed to get one. My good buddy bought a new baseball glove. I felt like I needed to get one. We always feel like we need to be overly excessive about what other people think of us. And, you know, that ball can just keep going and going and going. And finally, I just decided enough is enough. And I took an imaginary needle out of my pocket, and I popped a hole in that ball in my life. And I decided I'm no longer going to worry about what God thinks of me. My biggest concern was my weight. I had really gotten to be a rather large person at one time. And I would lose weight and I would gain it back, only to realize that, you know, I was doing that because I was doing it for other people. And once I decided that I wanted to do that for myself, because it was not about what I looked like, but it was about how I felt and how I woke up in the morning and how my heart felt, and that God had given me this life and he wanted me to live a richer, fuller life, and I needed to do something about that for myself, not because of what others thought about me. So it's important that when you are associating with people, don't be concerned about what they think of you. Be happy that you have people in your presence and then they can be a part of your life and share your life with them as anxious as they are to share what they have with you. Another good practice I've chosen is to keep strife out of what I do each day. When I came to Fairfax County, I've noticed that this whole area is a place full of people who were former class presidents, very popular in school. I work in a school full of very A-type personality teachers. Everyone is at work till 5 and 6 o'clock at night. When I go into the city where I live, people are still working. People are working late at night. People just look very stressed out. People have asked me, well, how are you doing in the traffic? Well, I don't really notice it that bad. I mean, it doesn't seem to bother me. I decided that I would do a reverse commute. Instead of getting involved in the traffic, I decided to work somewhere so I would go against the traffic. So I made some changes that way. When everything is going wrong for other people, I make the other decision and go the opposite way. That seems just very simple, and it is. It's not difficult. It doesn't take rocket scientists to do this. So I decided to, when I moved here, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm not going to get involved in things or get involved with people who bring me down and keep strife in my life. There's nothing wrong with being in a heated conversation with people, but it's important, and it's nothing wrong with being at work and accepting your responsibilities, and at times things do occur that you do need to be responsible for, but we don't need to let that overcome us and take over our lives and bring us down. My life has become greater, and I think yours will too, your relationship with God, if you become thankful for the things that you have rather than the things that you want. I was a very materialistic person. Teaching school, you have minimal income, but if you keep your expenses down, you have a lot of excess money at the end of the month. And I found that I was just being very frivolous with that and doing no-nonsense things. And when important things came up and I had to take care of business, it became very difficult for me. And I took for granted what God had provided for me. And I never stopped to thank him. Have you ever prayed, and then when you finished, you wondered what it was you prayed about or what it was you asked for? You close your eyes because your mom taught you that when you were little. You close your eyes and you thank God for things. And I know I memorized the prayer as a little boy, and I can still say it. And I'm really not thankful for a lot of those things that I still ask for thankfulness about, because they're no longer relevant to my life. And when you talk to God, whether you do it in the morning, in the afternoon, any time during the day that you decide that you're going to take some personal time and have a conversation with our Savior, it's important that you thank him for the things that are relevant to you and relevant to your life today. Psalm 7:17 tells us that I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness and justice, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. How you do that is very different from person to person. I know this is not my gift to come forth and speak. I do it. I'm a teacher. I'm in front of children every day. I work with adults. So it's not difficult to get up and talk to people. I've taught Sunday school before, but I'm most comfortable behind a musical instrument. I think oftentimes that if I had not become a church musician or got involved in the church music program as a child, that I would not be in church today. It would be so easy to wake up on Sunday and continue with my secular life. But church provides many avenues for a lot of us, whether it be circle meetings, men's Bible study, the opportunity to teach Sunday school, sing in the choir, or be involved in the children's music ministry. I know as a young, very young child, my mother had me involved in the church music ministry, and today I am where I am because of that. Just very little involvement singing in the children's choir. And I am thankful for that. And every day that I sit down and play the piano and that I am able to read music, and when people ask me, can I do something musically, people always praise you for your talents. Many of you have talents. If you bake a good cake, they always thank you for that and thank you for those skills that you have, those abilities to do things. The men and women who came and worked in the church, a yard to make it a beautiful place. God gives us those talents. It gives us those abilities. If I had to weed the church yard, it would probably still be overgrown, because that's just something I'm not good at. I mean, anybody can pull a weed, but God has not bestowed upon me the patience to do that kind of work. But he has given me the gift of music, and for that I am grateful, and I thank him every day for that. And when you're praying, make your prayers relevant. Don't just pray arbitrarily. Talk to God and establish a relationship with him about things that are important to you and important in your life. And pray for the people that are nearest and dearest to your heart. which that leads me to, after being thankful and praying, I pray for everything. People say, you just be riding down the road and you say, God, please help me find where I'm looking to go. Or, when you call God's name, he hears you. And people say, don't use the Lord's name in vain. But when you say those words, when you utter the syllables of his name, his ear turns to you, and he's waiting to hear what your voice has to say and your request. So it's important that when you ask for his guidance and his assistance, that you're ready to talk to him and continue that positive relationship with God. One of my biggest problems, for a lack of better words, was that after I finished college and started working, and my mother and father had the emptiness syndrome, and they were at home, and as they got older, you know, we would worry about them and we would worry about taking care of them. And I think that's very important, to care and provide care and take care of people who are important to you. But it's also very important that you take care of yourself and stop trying to take care of everybody else. And I mean, I don't mean in terms of the people that you love, but at work and people who are in our lives that not necessarily have a positive impact on us, but we get very involved in other people's business, so to speak. And we decide that we want to take it upon ourselves to solve the world's problems. And that's just not how it needs to be. Galatians tells us, but let every person carefully scrutinize and examine and test his own conduct and his own work. In other words, before you try to take care of other people, you need to take care of yourself. And that's what I did. And because of that, I feel like I'm now a stronger and better person. And when I'm called upon to do something, I feel like I have a better sense of why I've been asked to do that. You know, oftentimes people are caregivers. Many of you are caregivers. Some people actually make money off of taking care of other people. I don't mean caring for people. I mean taking care of yourself, handling your own business first, and getting life right for yourself before you decide to take upon the responsibilities and concerns of other people. One of my biggest problems, and a lot of people go through this, and you might relate when I say this, don't start things that you can't finish. Having good intentions. I love to go to Barnes & Noble and Borders, and some of the first books you always see in January, and long about the middle of the year, are the self-help books, or the motivation books, the books that say, you know, good intentions, 10 ways to make your life a better place, 100 ways to simplify your life. There are just numerous books that you can buy to try to help you with this. And I did buy one of them. And one of them brought up a good point. Don't start things that you can't finish. We take on so many projects, multiple unfinished projects clutter our minds and our lives. Does that happen to you at home? I'm sure that when you start a project, you open up a closet door and you think, oh my gosh, how will I ever get through all this? So you have intentions to go home right after church, and you're going to read the newspaper, and then you're going to start on something very important you need for work. And then another project pops up, and then you decide you want to do this, and then one of your children asks you to take them to the mall, and you have all these things going, and all of a sudden you look down at your personal stove, so to speak, and you don't have any eyes left on the stove to put another pot because everything is already boiling over. And what I decided to do, and this might be a good point for you in your life, is to, I wrote down everything that I was trying to do. And I use that word trying because that's exactly what I was doing. I had a lot of things going on, and I was keeping everybody appeased and happy, but nothing was getting finished. Because a lot of times I was relying on other people to get the job done, but I had not empowered them with the information and the materials they needed to get the project done. And all of a sudden, suddenly, I had so many things on my plate that I could not finish. I had to humble myself and ask for help. And I decided, you know, this wouldn't happen if I wouldn't try to take on so many projects. So I pick and choose what I do now, and I try to make those more richer and fuller and a better quality versus quantity. Finally, I'd like to share with you one of the greatest pieces of advice a pastor at my former church gave me. I'm grateful for all the churches I've served in, and I've worked in many churches, large and small, and everywhere I've been, there has been a positive experience, and I've had positive opportunities to work with great people. I don't think church is full of bad people, and so when you work with people in church, you're normally going to be exposed to people who are positive and have a good sense about them and have a good outlook on life. But my former pastor, he told me when I was talking about wanting to move and relocate and start over, so to speak, he said, well, follow your heart. You know, your heart is one of the most powerful organs on your body. And, you know, there's so much on the news about taking care of yourself, taking care of your heart, eating right. But one of the greatest things that we can do is to ease the stress on our heart is to ease the stress on our minds. And it's amazing that when relief comes to us over stressful issues and concerns in our life, our heart does start to feel better. And, you know, profound joy of the heart is like a magnet that indicates the path of life. One has to follow it even though one enters into a way full of difficulties. And if you keep your heart healthy and you keep your heart happy, those difficult times that are put before us, because God puts them before us. You know, life is not a bed of roses. It is not always the golden path to the rainbow. It is not that way. That's not God's intention. Everything he does is to make us stronger. And one of the greatest lessons I've learned in life is that you have to listen to what God says. And then when he puts strife in our life, it's there for a purpose. And I know that's very painful to hear. And when we go through personal grief in our lives and within our families, and we know that people who are suffering, we just have to put our hands around our heart and warm our heart, and hope that, know that God has done this because he wants us to understand that it's through these difficult times that we learn how to be stronger Christians. And so following my heart is what led me to you all. And I just want to say that in conclusion, I am very grateful to be here and serve as a minister in your church. I know we've had discussions about the growth of our church, about concerns within our church, and it takes all of us to keep our church a strong and faithful place to come each week and learn more about God's word, and to not only come and sit, but to be active participants. I didn't mind speaking today because I felt like I could say something of worth, and it's no big deal to really get up here. And if someone asks you to do something in church, and most of the time they're going to ask you because they think you're probably capable of doing it. And before you say no, think about your answer. And before you say no, think about it before you just say no. Think about if what you do is indeed going to be something that will be beneficial to you and will also help our church continue to be the place that it is, and to continue to be a positive ministry in this neighborhood, and continue to be an outreach to the Alexandria area. Let's bow in prayer. Our Lord, we are truly grateful that you are our Savior, and most importantly, we are truly grateful that you are our friend. It is in you that we seek daily guidance as we attempt to walk the walk of your word. It is on this path that many of us find ourselves falling short of your divine will and purpose that you have bestowed upon each of us. We know that through faith, patience, and trust, Lord, you will shine the light into our world to help us navigate through the many rooms of darkness that we encounter. We know, Lord, and we are so grateful for the knowledge that you bestow upon us through the word, through the activities that you provide to us through our churches and through our church organizations, and that along this path we will find sparks of illumination to resolve many of life's unanswered questions and settle personal conflict and ease the strife in our own lives. Lord, we humbly stand in awe at the presence of you, and we offer this prayer in your most precious and sacred name. Amen.